wish you liked me more. I do. I like you a lot. Yeah, but more.
More than I do?
Yeah. There are people out there who I wish liked me less.
Really? Do you really have people that you wish liked you less? Like, do you have people who are, like, overzealous Sean fans?
I mean, maybe not to that extent, but there are definitely people that... I mean, there aren't people you see every day that are like, Jay, how the hell are you, man? Let me tell you every facet of my life because I'm so happy to see you.
Definitely.
You don't have those people?
No, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I wish those people didn't like me. Like, I wish there were more people who didn't like me.
There's plenty of people who don't like you. I mean...
I want more.
Okay. I can't get enough.
Do you know people who don't like me? I would like a list.
Yeah.
The fact that you're thinking about it means that that's not good.
We'll talk later. We'll talk off mic.
Oh, no. Shit. Now I'm stressed.
You haven't even...
Because any mutual people that we have in common, I want those people to like me. So that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, sure. Sure. You haven't even done a proper podcast intro, and
I haven't yet, but I figure people understand. They understand that, you know, you and I, we don't get to talk as much these days. You know, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
I know.
You know, it sucks.
I know. Looks like it's going to be at least another two.
At least. For sure.
Dude, at least. I hate this. This was the week where, like, in the last couple of days, I've started to become angry. Like, it's my anger phase of the cycle of grief or whatever. Come on.
Yeah, Kieran and I got in an argument over a box of cereal today.
Oh, yeah. 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 I know all about it. I mean, I get it. I just talked to my girlfriend for the first time in 18 hours right before we started.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good. I'm unhappy. I feel really cagey. You know, mm-hmm. I have a hard time. I have a hard time when we don't have things to do. I'm like,
right.
You know, we've gone weeks before without a podcast and I get real, real antsy.
Yeah. And it's supposed to rain all weekend.
Yeah.
So that's like another, like, at least now you could, like, today was a nice day. Like, you could go outside if you wanted to. It's a little chilly, but, like, go outside, walk around.
Yeah, we did three walks today. Me and my kid went three times. Three walks.
I did a huge loop with the dog yesterday. Like, a big one. Like, I went all the way down around the park and shit. Like,
good, yeah.
Yeah. Can't do that. I'm not going to be able to do that all weekend.
Nope.
So.
It's good, though. It's like when you're out there, you forget for a couple minutes. That's how it was. Like, when we came back, it was weird because there's no cars. There's no traffic, and that's kind of strange. But you get used to it after, you know, half an hour or whatever. But tonight when we came home, I actually had that kind of like, oh, yeah, coming home with the family feeling. Like, yep, just like,
right.
You know, it like just had gotten dark. So we, you know, hit the door and the lights turned on. All these like little things you don't think about, you know,
right.
The motion detector light going on, your key hitting the door and like things that we just haven't done in 2 weeks, you know?
Oh, yeah. Finn hasn't been in his crate in 2 weeks. Like... Because that's where he stays while we're at work.
Freedom
show. Like, he just hasn't been in there. So I'm convinced that he's going to be like, what the fuck? You want me to go back in this cage?
Yeah.
Once we finally go back to work?
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's, I mean, obviously.
Like the closest. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, obviously, you know, the world doesn't need us to tell them this, but this is crazy times. And I get more and more angry. Today, we went on our second walk. We went past this park over here in my neighborhood, and there were six women standing around a picnic table together, all drinking coffee, like to go, like Stewart's coffees, while their kids played in the park. And I walked by with my kids, and I just look over at them, and I'm like, super smart girls, super smart, super smart. You know, and they're just looking at me, like trying to figure out what I'm saying because I'm across the street. And I just wanted to go over. And I had like a violent, like vicious, violent sort of reaction to seeing adults congregating and breaking the rule with no disregard or with no regard for public safety, public health. And all you're doing is making it so I have to be inside longer. And I don't want to be inside any longer.
Right. Like, So I understand you have to like go to the store, or you need to get, you know, what you need to get and things like that. I'm not saying, you know, we need to lock ourselves up and shit, but like simple basic shit, like it drives me nuts. Like,
I'm totally saying lock basketball. Ourselves up. I'm totally saying like just do 2 weeks. I can do 2 more weeks. I can do 2 more weeks. And if you tell me in those 2 weeks we can't do anything, okay, cool. But it's over in 2 weeks then. If everybody just stays away from each other, if we shut it all the way down in 2 weeks, it's all the way done. Let's do it and move on. What I don't want to do is this, where it's like, okay, we go in for 2 weeks and then we check it out again. And it turns out that, you know, Brenda and Stevie couldn't keep away from their friggin' mom circle. So, you know, a couple more kids got it, and who knew, because everybody was asymptomatic. So, okay, so now it's 2 more weeks, and then 2 more weeks, and then in like 2 months, they issue the martial law lockdown, when all this shit could have been right. avoided, but people really needed to get Chinese food. People were really concerned for their first time in their small lives about supporting small business.
Well, I got to go out. I got to support the bar. Oh, I got to support right? the restaurant.
All of a sudden, people give a shit.
Give me a break. You're bored and you want to go out. Just say it. But instead, mm-hmm. You know, we'll just do this piecemeal 2 weeks at a time thing.
Yeah. No, it's insane. What I was going to say is, like, we did the grocery pickup thing, and that is the most human interaction I've had in 2 weeks by far.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like the guy being like, "Hey, I got your shit." And I'm like, "Great, put it in the back." Like,
were you excited to see a person?
I mean, not really.
No.
I think I haven't been quite locked up enough to appreciate people. Oh, yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I totally like appreciate people.
Yeah, like I was still like I was out in the world. Just we went for a drive the other day. Like, we're like, well, let's just go for a drive. That's something we can do. So we just went for a drive, and we're like driving, and I'm still like, these motherfuckers are doing this and these assholes. I'm like, yeah, I still hate everybody. So I guess I haven't been locked up long enough.
Yeah, you
to appreciate the people.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I find myself talking to neighbors and waving to people and stuff now. I'm so bored. It's great because I'm hanging out with my daughter and I love it. Like, we're spending every hour together for the last 2 weeks, and it's been the coolest experience just to know that neither of us have anything to do. There's no commitments. There's nothing I could do if I wanted to do it. So there's mm-hmm. nothing like tugging at me. There's no commitments. There's nothing. So that's great. I love that. I mean, I obviously wish it wasn't happening for this reason. But like, we all just want to go out, you know, which is why I can't wait until when this is over and we do finally kick off middle tour. It's going to be like the best road trip ever.
It's like, oh my God,
like finally hitting the road and shit. Oh my God, it's going to be great. I can't wait. I fantasize about it.
Before we started, we were talking about like, what are we going to talk about? Because this is the only thing going on in the world right now.
I know.
Like, this is the, like, you turn, like, the TV on, you go on social media, like, this is the only thing going on. It's this and the Tiger Guy documentary, like, are the only things that anybody's talking about.
Is that happening, you think, because everyone's trapped and so now we're all...
Dude, I was wondering that.
...watching, like, we have no choice, so we're all watching the same thing.
Like, that just happens to be the one thing Netflix was really pushing this week.
They could do anything they want now. If whatever they push is going to be giant. It could be garbage, exactly. But if they put it on the front page.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, you know, like, these little shows or these little movies that are out there that just, like, oh, we got on Netflix. Sweet. And then if they were like, oh, my God, if they just this week, like, just pushed it, or the next couple weeks, just really push our shit, we'll be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I wonder what goes into that. And I saw that they... Okay, two things. Number one, the top trending, that's mm-hmm. that's genius that they've just started doing.
Oh,
that,
for sure.
Like 1 through 10, that's crazy. And the other thing is that the top trending in the U.S. category What's wrong with you people with Outbreak being on that list? What's wrong with you people?
Oh, dude, Outbreak, the pandemic documentary series.
What's wrong? What's wrong? What is wrong with us as a civilization? What is wrong
with us? That's the last thing I want to watch right now.
Dude, it's the last thing anybody should want to watch. It's not an instruction manual, you dopes. Like, just turn, like, yeah. Just turn on CNN.
It's like that, and Doomsday Preppers is on there, I think.
Come on.
And yeah. It should... The Office is holding strong. The Office is always in the top 10.
Yeah. It's so funny.
But I find myself watching, like, kind of depressing shit, but, like, it actually makes me feel better, if that makes sense. Because, like, I watched The Pianist the other night, like, and I was like, wow, that must have really sucked. Like, that's way worse than this. And I was just
this
could be a lot worse.
Pianist was World War II, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yes and no. Yes, because, you know, 6 million people, not to mention everybody that died in the war. It was a tremendous loss of life. But also, I mean, like, at least there was, like, a clear good guy and bad guy. You know, like, there was the idea that maybe it could end. You could do something, as futile as it may have felt. You could, like, join up. Oh, you know, like, there's things that could be done. This is just...
Yeah, but
this,
I'm like, talking about specifically, like, with the movie the character in the movie is a Jewish guy who escapes one of the work camps and is, like, living in Poland, like, under hiding. Okay. And, like, he literally is quarantined in apartments for weeks and weeks and months on end.
Okay.
At different points throughout. And, like, with the door locked on the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are scenes in that movie where I'm like, oh, that's worse. Like, and the dude, like, doesn't know when his next meal is coming, and he doesn't know, like... But at the same time, he knows that that's the better alternative than being in a concentration camp. So it's like, yeah, I don't know.
But do you also then, like, kind of pull yourself out of it for a second and go, like, holy shit, this is my new bar? Like, The Pianist is my new bar?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, well, at least I'm better than this guy. At least I got a good thing going.
Yeah, like, you know, 3 weeks ago, you would look at, like, Dwight Schrute and be like, well, at least I got something over that guy. And now it's like, you know, this emaciated, you know, Jew in hiding. And that's scary.
It's not true.
It's not great. It's not great.
But at the same time, I'm not comparing the two. Well, I am comparing the two. But I mean, like, I don't think they're even close to
sure. No.
That's what I'm, yeah.
I hear you. I'm just saying, like, when you just pay attention to the bar that you're setting. And then it gets real wild. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm saying.
When are we going to start seeing the wildlife come back, like in Italy and shit, right? Isn't that like... The squirrels in my backyard are like everywhere.
It's party
so
time.
I mean, is that the benchmark now? Is like,
air is clean.
Man, I didn't realize there were so many squirrels out there.
I read that the air is clean... is cleaning up in LA for the first time since, you know, whenever. It's all the changes are happening. It's a big old stupid reset, which is also super scary, because then you go like, oh, I get it. Yeah. We're the virus. I understand.
If anything, we're being cleansed.
Yeah. We're the problem. And you know, the earth is taking care of us, and everything's going to be okay. Yeah, that scares me a little bit, but I don't know, man. There's just no end in sight. I stopped watching the news, though. That's something I did this week. I hit my breaking point.
Yeah, I stopped doing that too.
You gotta.
You'll see segments here and there, like, of the big thing, but like, I get like an alert on my phone and be like, oh, the governor is speaking. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to watch that today.
No, I
watched it every other day. I'm like, oh, the president's talking. What's that shit about? The dude doesn't fucking start talking until like 5 PM. It's like, because he doesn't go to bed until 3 AM. But whatever. I don't know. Like, it's you don't need to watch it anymore.
I just can't believe I think it's maybe, I don't know, man. It's like when 9/11 happened, you know, and I said this to you before, like I grew up watching like G.I. Joe and all these cool, cool movies. And, you know, you have this idea that like, you know, we're indestructible and like, yeah, man, someday someone's going to try to attack us. But then these missiles are going to come out of the Statue of Liberty's eyes and laser beams and they're going to destroy it. It's going to be, you know. And then all of a sudden you realize, no, that's all nonsense. We're just these monkeys who are who are barely holding on to, you know, to civilization and everything. And then this happens. And it's like, it's the exact same thing, you know? You think you walk around thinking, you have this spoonful of shit fed to you your whole life going like, it's the best country in the world. And, blah, 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 blah. And then this happens and you're like, oh no, there's nothing, like we're worse than a lot of other places. We have, you know, our leadership is crazy. The people, the stupid ass people, the moms in the park tonight, you know, these dummies, these dumb kids on beaches, these dumbasses, like, you know, I ain't got no carbonara vipers, you know, I ain't holding nothing. It's not me. It ain't me. Like, it's just impossible to control the population of 370 million people when like 60% of them are, you know,
morons.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do? And then the guy who's running the whole show is saying the stupidest shit ever. And there's nothing happens about it. You know, again, like I grew up, you know, thinking like we're impenetrable. I also kind of grew up thinking like, oh, something like that happens, then, you know, we're like super smart, super strong, and we would just like overthrow it.
There are people in lab coats that are figuring all this out.
Yeah, but then there's also some kind of general who's like working for that guy, and then they would do some weird executive power thing, and they would get rid of that crazy guy who was ruining everything, and then some like smart guy would come in and save us. But no, we're all just kind of hanging out like, oh, sweet, $1,200, huh? Cool. Kick ass. All right. We'll take our $1,200. What? This is not at all how I envisioned this apocalypse to go down. And yet here we are. I'm in my basement.
But, I mean, I hate saying it because it's cliche and shit, but it could always be worse, right? I mean, but at the same time, this makes you think like, oh, worse is a possibility. That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could always be worse. However, something like this happens, and you're like, oh, wait, one layer after this is a lot worse. Like
power grid. Like one. That's the thing. Like the next layer is, you know, in a week, hey, did your internet stop working? Oh, yeah. What's going on with that? Mine's been on and off all day. That's weird. Then the next day, Time Warner or Spectrum is like, we can't support the load, guys. Like, there's just too many of you, and we can't do it, and our techs are all sick, and we can't do it. So now the internet's down. You're like, all right, well, it could be worse. At least the cell phones are still working. I have unlimited data. And then we crush that network. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, well, you know, now it's just calls. And then the power grid goes down. And then we're in friggin'. Then we're in Lord of the Rings or Lord of the Flies. Then it's just
like, Lord of the Rings.
Then we're walking across the Shire. Yeah.
And Gandalf shows up.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you shall not abuse PayPal.
Watch Game of Thrones.
Perfect. And I miss basketball so much. I watched a documentary.
You know, I didn't realize, like.
Go ahead.
I didn't realize like how much I relied on the NBA.
Yeah.
Like as just a thing to do. Like, cause that's my night. Like Kieran goes to bed pretty early and I stay up and then I'm like, oh, well, what game is on?
Yeah. Oh, late game's like, on. Yeah. West Coast like, game. Cool.
Oh, sweet. And then, cause it's always somebody at least decent. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing about the NBA is like,
everybody has somebody decent.
Well, yeah, like I'll watch just about any game, even the Suns. I'll watch a Suns game. I don't care.
Want to see
what I mean?
Devin Booker? Yeah, I want to see Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on with these kids? What's up? What's happening over here? There's a story for every team. It's kind of like, it's not like baseball to me is not like that, where baseball is so big. There's so many teams. It's 162 games. It's like, it's so big.
And your team is playing just about every day.
Every day. So you kind of have to stay in your division. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a Yankee mm-hmm. fan. Okay, so AL East, you get to know all the players in the AL East pretty quickly because the Yankees will cycle through them right. a bunch of times. Cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it's kind of a novelty when they're playing interleague or they're playing somebody out west. You're like, oh, cool. But other than that, like, you can't be that guy. But with basketball, 30 teams, everybody kind of plays each other. You're kind of like around the league a little bit, and there's games.
Every team plays every other team yeah. at least once home and away.
Yeah, it's fun.
So.
It's fun. Like football. Yeah. It's like football in that way, you know, where it's a manageable amount of games.
Right. With football, you only have 16 games in a season. So it's like, and then you can, and every, so every game is so important.
Yeah, it's even more like, intimate, right?
You can't do that in baseball. Like, I'm not going to watch, like, last year, I probably watched 75% of all the Yankee games last year.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about watched, I don't mean like I sat there and intently, like, it's just on. You know what I mean? It's just like it's on in the background while I'm doing whatever. But like football, like you watch the game.
Yeah, you're there. You're locked in. Because like, you only get it once a week.
Exactly. And the same thing with basketball, like, yeah, they play a lot more games. But and you so you don't feel as bad as you if you miss one, but it's way more of an entertaining sport as far as like it's a fast paced razzle dazzle game, as they say in Space Jam.
Sure. Swishing and dishing, as they say on MSG.
But like, yeah, like, and I think because there are so few players on the field or on the court at a time, like there are only 10 players on the court at a time. Name another sport where there's only, I guess, baseball. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, baseball's 18. Oh, well, no.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying on the, right. at a time.
Right, at a time.
But still,
so 10, yeah.
Like,
10,
the whole team, both teams are on at the same time. And, like, they don't wear, like, equipment on their heads and faces. So, you recognize these faces.
And most,
you know what
most
I mean?
Everybody gets a touch. The ball could go anywhere at any time. You know what
Anything
I mean?
Could happen.
Anything could happen. Right.
Yeah.
In baseball,
like,
it's
baseball,
very
you're
much,
waiting for a pitch.
Yeah, it's very much. Baseball, as much as there's nine guys on, you know, playing defense, it's very, very much a pitcher-batter duel. For nine
right.
innings, and then it's up to those
for baseball
two guys.
And yeah, for baseball and football, the ball has to be put in play.
Right, right.
And basketball, it's just constantly
yeah. Well, at the tip,
anybody listening to this is like, are you guys explaining sports?
Yeah,
how sports works to us.
Thanks, Dr. Naismith.
Yeah. I got this peach basket. I'm gonna hang it up over here.
Hey, guys, can you go back? Let me grab a pen. So now you say the ball stays in play? Oh my god. I like to think that we're converting non-sports fans around the globe right now. Like
one by one.
Oh. Yeah, it's
like it's a non-stop fast-paced game.
Hmm.
I can get into that.
It's yeah. The ball goes in the basket.
I always thought it was
hence,
like bowling.
Basketball. My god. Like bowling. All right, that's where I draw the line. Did you see last Sunday ESPN2 became ESPN8 the Ocho?
Yeah, they do that once during the year, but this year they must have, but now they were like, well, fuck it, we might as well do it.
That's
like,
great. I'd never seen it happen before.
No, it's great.
Yeah, it was really great. I sort of happened across it, and it was very exciting. You know, especially now.
What did you watch?
I watched the eating stuff. There was a brat contest, uh-huh. like a Johnsonville brat
sure.
contest with Kobayashi and Joey Chestnut and who's the Black Widow, the girl. She's really good.
Yep.
And I watched that, and then I watched Dodgeball, U.S.-Canada International Dodgeball Championship. I watched... One sport, it was like the Olympics, but with marbles. So every...
Dude.
Yeah, so you know this?
That's... Kieran and I watch that on YouTube all the time. Like, that's not an ESPN 8 The Ocho thing. Like, we literally watch the Marble Olympics all the time.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. I had never heard of it before last Sunday.
Dude, was it Gels Marble Runs or whatever it's called?
Yeah, yeah,
it's yes,
exactly
dude,
what it was.
I'm telling
yeah.
you. Go on YouTube. Just watch it.
Okay.
Like, just do yourself a favor and watch the Marble Olympics.
I will.
It's fascinating.
I will go back.
I'll
watch
why.
More. Well, I mean, it's entertaining. There was also Shit, what did you just say? You just said something that reminded me. There was another thing on there that was really good. Oh, they had the slippery stairs on there.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. So it was fun to see some sporting, I guess.
Yeah, I watched some stupid robot fighting.
Yeah, sure.
Is what it's actually called. It's called stupid robot fighting.
That's great.
I watched some of the dodgeball stuff. Did you watch the juggling dodgeball thing?
I wanted to. I missed it. I heard. I was looking at the list of things that were on, and that sounded fascinating.
Yeah, there's one guy on each side who's just juggling, and the other team has to knock one of the things that they juggle?
Pins,
yeah.
Yeah.
They had to knock him over and mess the guy up, basically.
Fascinating. Yeah, I could totally get into that. Yeah, this is.
I always think about sports like that, and I'm like, how much effort would it actually take for me to become like pro level?
Too much
at one of these sports.
It would take too much effort, but then once you got to the point where you were sort of in contention, you would have gone too far. I think sports like that, you start off really quickly, and you're like, oh man, mm-hmm. I could really do this. You know what I mean? Like if you have to be at an 80 to be a pro, I think the first time out you're a 60. You know, it's like think about it like a 2K, right? Like you step on the court as a 60 and you're like, what? So 99 is the max. I'm already a 60. I don't start off like a 10. All right, I'm already over the hump. You're right. Quickly, you're at a 75. You think it's all downhill. You hit 90 and it takes 2 years to go up one notch. I think that's exactly those types of sports. You know, you have basic hand-eye coordination. You can roll a marble. You come in at a 70, easy. And then... Mm-hmm. Then you've gone too far. Once you get to 75, you've gone too far. You spend the rest of your life trying to master it.
Because I was thinking about like cornhole.
Perfect.
Like there are guys out there who are really good at cornhole.
Yeah.
Like ridiculously good at cornhole.
God-given talent.
And I think I like the fact that I play it like twice a year, I usually do pretty well when I do.
Sure.
Against like, and I'm like, well, what if I play this all the time? Like, and committed myself to just cornhole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think there are probably people there. I mean, we have like some pro cornholer.
Hey, man.
That listens to us and he's like, no, you don't get it. But here's what
every
I'm saying.
Every day, like, the 4 professional... a.m. He's like the Kobe Bryant of cornhole. Right. The corn bee Bryant.
But like, I don't know. I feel like if I put the time and effort in, I could get like, I bet you I could be like state ranked. And then like the next thing you know, and it's like, hey, I can get into some big tournament. Like, I don't know. It's fucking cornhole is my point. I think just by sheer numbers alone, I think I have the hand-eye coordination to become a decent cornhole player.
I think if you started now in a year, I think you're in contention to be like sixth man of the year. If you start now. I think the hard part is when you go from role player, like starting five role player, to superstar, because it's always just right there. And like you just said, it's cornhole. How hard can it be? But dude, I say the same thing about darts and axe throwing and every other weird thing that now they consider a sport. Like
I don't know. Darts seems ridiculous. You watch those guys play darts.
Yeah, but... I mean, it's just...
That seems impossible
to me.
But
it's just feel, isn't it? I mean, it's just feel. What about curling? Like, curling, it's the same thing. Shuffleboard, it's the same thing, right? It's like, it's just feel. Once you have the feel, you're good. Like, I bet you there's a lot of people you know who could be bronze medal curlers.
If they took the time.
They took the time. But then once you get in so deep, it's like, what am I supposed to do here? You know, I've already come this far and your wife's yelling at you like, you know, I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. And you're like, God damn it. What do you want me to do? We finished
the nation's depending on me.
Yeah.
I got the USA on my chest, lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always the sports where the guys that look like just some guy.
Right, right, right.
Like that's the thing. Yeah. If the professionals are like people who just look like some guy,
substitute gym teacher Sean Barnes from St. Johnsville, New York.
But like bowling is like that. But I feel like that's a little different because so many people have access to it. That like
yeah, but that's hard.
There are a lot of people who are like really good at it. Well, like maybe, are you sure? It's not, you, like you said, it's a feel thing, right? Like, what if you just figure it out and you're like, yeah. Hey, this is my groove. Yeah. This is my lane. Like, I figured out my throw. I got the ball that works for me. Yeah. The right shoes.
You definitely don't have to be in shape for it. That's for certain.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's no training. I mean, I'm sure there's training, but it's not like rigorous.
Like, the day's going to come where somebody has a massive heart attack during the World Cup of bowling or whatever.
Do we know for sure that hasn't happened? I mean, no, there has to be some kind of, there has to be some record somewhere of some state championship where a guy just fell down. You know, he drank like 8 beers. Right. He'd been eating hot dogs all day. He just like, he's got nacho cheese that he just licked off his fingers, stuck them right into the ball, stood up, did the little twinkle toe dance to the line, and then dropped hard like a sack of laundry.
Gets a strike too. Totally. Gets a strike and just collapses.
Course. And that's his 300 game.
And so people are cheering.
Yeah. He just hit 300.
It was the last roll. The last roll. And he like collapses to the floor and the announcer's just like, he collapses in excitement.
Yeah.
We can't believe it.
Yeah. And the ball's going down the lane and all the pins are cleared except the 7 and 10. And then the 7 like leans over and smashes off something and hits the 10. It's like the hardest. It's not even a split though. It's just like the most improbable strike ever. You know, and he sees it right as his eyes close. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell mama she should be proud of her boy is what he says in his dying breath.
And then they get like a what do you call it? What's that stuff called that you put trophies in? What's that shit called?
A trophy case?
Yeah, but the stuff that the glass is made of. It's called
plexiglass.
Yeah, it's like acrylic,
like tempered glass.
Yeah, well, no, like the acrylic shit. It's like whatever. They get like a ball made of that clear stuff, and then his ashes in the middle acrylic. Of the ball, right? Yeah,
yeah. They put his ashes. He's in the ball.
Yeah, he's in the ball.
It's like his skull. Yeah, and then
that's his son's ball, and he bowls with his dad, and that's the sequel. And he talks to him.
This was a movie.
Yeah, though. Yeah, of course. Everything is. Life is a movie. And then
life is a movie.
He talks to him and they drive like from lane to lane, from championship to championship.
He's just like, one more, Pop.
Hey, Pop.
One more.
Yeah, but then he slowly starts to lose his mind. So him and his dad are arguing over what to play on the radio.
Oh, God, he's having full on conversations with shit.
Dad, we've been listening to the Skinner album for 2 states. Pop, come on. Give me a break here.
All right, listen, can we compromise and play some Willie Nelson? Like, I'm just saying, Dad, I'm sick of this shit.
Dad.
He doesn't even keep him. If you don't shut the fuck up, you're going back in the bag.
I told you.
He keeps him right on the front seat.
Yeah, yeah, it buckles him in.
Or on the dash, and he just keeps looking at him the whole time.
Yep, this is the next
movie. He takes him to strip clubs and shit.
It's my pop's birthday.
Hey, he gets a little handsy.
Hey, Cinnamon, come here. Yeah, he's a little. Watch out, he's a little handsy. He's all balls, this guy. That's the name. That's the name of the movie. All balls.
All balls.
Yeah. All balls. Balls out.
At the beginning of the movie, a guy in a suit comes in. He's like, "Are you Timothy Johnson Jr.?"
I am.
Who's asking?
Yeah.
This guy hasn't talked to his dad in years.
Yeah. He says, are you Timothy Johnson? He's like, "No, sir, that was my father."
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, so Timothy Johnson Jr. Yes, that is me. Who wants to know?
I guess that some bitch named me after him. Yeah, what can I do for you? Well, what can boy, I do you for?
I'm sorry to tell you, your daddy's dead.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, he gets shot in the back by some jealous husband, that some bitch.
Well, it was during the U.S. Open.
My daddy was a tennis player?
He picked up the most improbable strike anyone had ever seen in the history of the game. Anyway.
My mom always told me that I got my sweet stroke from my papa.
He just sets the ball down.
Dude,
on the table.
That's how he dies. He doesn't have a heart attack. He has a stroke. And the name of the movie is Sweet Stroke. Final Stroke or Swift Final, Stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
Some kind of stroke reference. Right. Right.
Something about a frame.
Right.
Or spare.
Right.
Frame. I don't know, 10th frame.
But then you call it the 11th frame because it's his redemption story, even though he's in an acrylic ball.
Oh, no. Okay. Here's the original. So this is the sequel, right? We're talking about with his son.
Yeah.
With his illegitimate son.
Yes.
But in the movie that he is in, the original.
Yeah.
It can be like stroke 300 or something like that. And he literally, his doctor tells him, like, listen, your body cannot handle throwing all these strikes. You don't have it in. So
it's medically not advised. I can't advise you medically from a doctor's standpoint to throw another.
It's like I got to win it for my boy.
Yeah.
So you
only got nine frames left in you, boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
But doc, there's 10 frames in every game.
It comes down to the last frame, and he knows that he has to bowl a strike to win.
Doc, I go 300 pins every game. That's how I go. But son, you are not going to make it. You got 9 strikes left in your body. 9 frames.
There are 12 strikes for a 300 game.
Okay, there you go.
So it's got to be
11,
like,
yeah.
Perfect. 12 to go or yeah, something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious.
I'm telling you, right, you son, you got 10, maybe 11 if you're lucky, strikes left in this body of yours. You beat it up, boy.
The doctor comes running in. The doctor's got it on, like, in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And, like, and he's like, nurse, who's my next patient? What is that on over there?
The son of a bitch is going to do it.
Down the street, they got the U.S. Open of Bowling going on, and Tim Johnson's about to
God damn it,
bowl
Johnson.
A 300 game. He's like, son of a bitch. He runs out, and he tries to stop him, but he looks at him.
Yeah, like
he looks at him right at the end.
The door
he's like,
flies
I know,
open.
Doc.
Right, door flies open, and he gets in there. Johnson! It's all quiet. The whole crowd looks over at him, and he gives him the shaking of the head, you know? And Tim Johnson looks at him and he just nods solemnly.
He's like, I have to do it. I
never had the choice, Doc. Yeah, I'm a bowler. This is what we do.
And the doctor is actually the guy in the sequel.
No strike, dude. No strike to spare.
Oh, shit. No strike to spare.
There you go.
Oh, that's fucking great. Oh. And then No Strike to Spare, too.
The pickup.
The doctor has the bowling ball of his skull.
Yes.
And brings it to the son.
Now, son,
says,
I told you.
Your daddy wanted you to have. I told your daddy he couldn't. He couldn't do it, but.
The some bitch did it.
After the climax of the movie, we come down from the climax and. The doctor gets a phone call, or not a phone call, the PBA, the Professional Bowlers Association.
Sure, yeah.
Comes knocking on the doctor's door at his house, and because he promised to no longer practice medicine, because he doesn't want to, he felt not responsible, but he doesn't want that that bother on him. He doesn't want that. So. Come to find out, that Timmy Johnson had
TJ.
had actually named the doctor the beneficiary of the prize money, the winner of the prize money under his. So he's like, well, he said for some reason he felt like he wouldn't be able to collect his winnings, and he wanted you to have this, and he brings him like a briefcase and. And at the end, he reads a note, and it says, like, I always thought I might have a boy out there. I want you to find him and give him this. And then he's presented with the ball.
The ball.
With his skull in it.
Yeah. His skull.
And he should have, like, a gold tooth.
Oh, my God.
So you know it's him. That's how you know it's him.
Yeah, he's two. He has two.
Him in the...
He has two, right? Like, his front two top teeth say TJ. And then that's yeah, perfect. Timmy Johnson.
No strike to spare.
There you go.
Your butt. son, your body suffers a series of mini strokes every time you throw a strike.
Now, by my calculations,
your body can handle about 10, 11, maybe 12 more of these.
He's got to give him the 11. Oh, no. No, 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 wait. He tells him that his body can handle 12 strikes. TJ meets, which is a 300 game. TJ meets his son, and they are at a bowling alley, and TJ has a moment where he feels like he has to impress his kid. He wants to show his kid what he does, so he bowls one of his strikes away. So now at the end of the movie,
what if TJ Jr. has got himself in a fix?
Perfect.
Where he has been bowling for money and he's about to
lose, and he comes in to pinch hit. TJ
Sr. is like, "Listen, give my boy a chance to win his money back. Let's go double or nothing. I pick up this
Boom. That's the best. Yes. So he does it for his son, but he does that early. And then at the end to win, that's the one. That's his Stone Fox moment. That's his, like, I know I'm not going to make it through this, but this is what I do, you know. And then we look back and, like, he would have made it if he had just held on to that one strike, but he saved.
Well, so he could get 13 of them, and then there's a line in there where the doctor's like, oh, I guess 13's an unlucky number. And, yeah, so that's what it is. He's got 13 of them. And so he's like, listen, I'm just going to do this one last tournament to win the money, and then I'm going to retire, and then I'll be fine. I'll live the rest of my life. I'll never bowl again.
Never going to touch a ball again, Doc. I promise you that.
He's like, what are the odds? What are the odds where I'm going to need a 300 to win the match? What are the odds?
But then he goes up against Russian bowling great legend.
Strykowski.
Ivan Strykowski. Yeah,
if he dies,
he dies. Ivan, what do you make out of this story that he's only got 12 strikes left in him? If he dies, he dies.
Oh, so everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do out here, Ivan?
Up on.
I'm trying to make it so that he has no choice but to kill himself on the lane. If he wants it, he will take it. If he does not, he will die a coward.
What are you hung up on?
I'm hung up on the fact that to win a bowling tournament, you have to play several games.
Yeah.
Just saying, to make this as realistic as possible.
Well, we're not going to play realism, though. We're gonna say, like, it's like... Maybe he's an
old timer. Yeah. He's a pro from
it's
back
a pro
in the day.
Tour. That's what
it's like when Rocky went against. Yeah, Drago. it's like in Rocky when. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what it is. He's going to come into, but instead of coming into James Brown, like Apollo Creed did, he's going to come into I'm a Real American Hulk Hogan style. Right. You know. Yeah. It's we turn into a patriotic movie. We need it. The country needs it right now.
We do.
Yeah, so we make TJ the American hero. But maybe he's not Russian.
For it.
Well, Russian still works. Oddly.
Russian
it's
works.
It's weird that it still works, but it definitely still works. We could make him
Iranian. I hate to say China, right?
China. We could make him Iranian. I mean, those guys are always good and bad and as bad guys in movies. That might work.
Hmm. Or he could just be like, I don't know, fucking Canadian. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, Canadians. Everybody knows Canadians are too nice. We need, like, I think Russian is the great natural predator. You know, it's like the one thing.
Well, think about it, especially in sports, too. Like,
and we don't feel bad because they're white predominantly. So we're not like, you know, nobody's like, oh, the brown people.
You're not being racist.
Yeah, no, you're
right?
Just like, oh, they look like us. They're just evil. It's great. It's perfect. It's a perfect fit.
Like, they're like bizarro Americans.
They're exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's cold there. They're all drunk.
Yeah, what better things do they have to do besides go inside and bowl?
That's it. This boy's been bowling his whole life. This is good. Yeah, okay. You know, I'm going to throw this script away. Forget it. I think we just did it. I think we just, I think you and I just cracked the story for
strike despair.
We need a bowling. Can you get us a bowling alley or several bowling alleys?
I can get us a bowling alley.
All right. We need several.
I feel good about it. Several?
Yeah. I mean, like, we need one for the climactic, you know, the climax, right? The end of the mm-hmm. third act, the big moment. But we also need, you know, we need to paint the story here. We need to see him, you know, we need to see him throwing some strikes, you know, in his career.
Oh yeah. And he's like coming up. It shows him like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like in his heyday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I actually have a hookup.
Okay.
Like, I really do. Like, if we wanted to make this, like, hear me out. The more I think about it, the more I think we actually could make this.
Sounds like a Farrelly Brothers movie.
Like, we could make this, and I wouldn't want to make this a feature. I don't want to, but I do think we could.
Justin, hear us out.
Yeah, I really think we actually could make a short called, you know, No Strike to Spare.
Can we just promise me something? When this is all over,
yeah.
When this whole mm-hmm. virus plague thing is over, you and I meet Justin, like we did for the last movie. We go mm-hmm. and we pitch him.
We'll just call him up and be like, "Hey, man, we want to talk.
We want to meet you. Yeah, we had a project. You know, he knows one's coming. He doesn't know what it is. He asked me the other day to send it to him, and I'm like, "Yeah, I just need some more time before anybody sees it." So I don't do that. You and
Does he know anything about
nothing. It? Nothing. So you and I meet him for coffee, and we pitch him the idea for No Strike to Spare. Like, in all earnestness. Man. Like,
he'll be in for it, though,
totally
man.
Totally in.
100% he'd be in for it. Like, because it's clearly a comedy, right?
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Or do we do it all, like, in, like, completely sincere?
We'll do it like Hoosiers.
Like,
yeah. Like a real heart, like a heartfelt. Who's our dream?
Right.
Who's our dream cast on this? Like,
ooh,
we get,
okay.
Yeah, we get, like, you know, $150 million to make this movie. Who's our...
See, I can't stop thinking of the cast of Kingpin, so I need to...
I'm in there, too.
Just get rid of them completely.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
Bill Murray, no Woody.
No, sure.
Like, none of that. Man.
Mm-hmm.
So who's like a guy who was huge back in the day, but, like, is now kind of... I don't know, like
Judd Nelson.
Time for, ready for like a resurgence.
Judd Nelson.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Judd Nelson's one of those guys, right? Like one of those '80s guys who nothing ever really happened to after the whole Brat Pack thing. Or Anthony Michael Hall, like one of those guys. Are you thinking in that era? Or are you thinking like further back? It's further back. They're starting to get a little long in the tooth for this job.
I like Judd Nelson though. I don't hate that.
Be good.
That could be really good. When was the last thing he did?
Like James, Silent Bob Strike Back in 2001? I don't know. He's probably been on some TV.
Dude's 60 years old.
Is he 60?
He's 60 years old.
Are you looking him up right now?
Yeah.
He's 60?
Yep.
That's perfect. I can't believe he's 60. Holy shit.
He's going to turn 61 this year.
My God. That's perfect.
And he was on Empire, the TV series.
Oh, yeah. Another thing
and,
I should
like,
have watched.
He was on it for 4 years, so he was a main guy, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe not. It looks like he was on it for 1 year, and then he was in one episode in 2019. He was in Transformers, Power of the Primes.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Titan, so he does voiceover shit? Is what it seems like.
So he's ready for a feature.
He's ready for it. Nah, this is a short, man. I'm telling you.
How short is short, though?
No, you're right. It's a feature.
It's,
no,
dude,
it totally
feels like
is.
A feature. We could really get this. We could flesh this out. This is a deep well to draw from.
It can be like the bowling match can be just looming the whole time too. Like
it's the engine of the whole movie. It's the
right.
It's what
yeah,
kicks.
There's
us
not
off.
A lot of bowling in the movie.
No,
like it's a movie about a bowler, but it's not. There's not a lot of bowling in the movie.
Right. But we need the engine. We need the thing that's going to propel us through the story. So it's this is it. It's like this match is it. And he comes out of retirement, you know, because like he was pretty good back in the day. He was good back in the day and they call him back and he's not sure he wants to do it, but like he gets talked into it. And so it's this whole thing. It's like all the struggle, all the conflict.
Yeah, and he came up short. He came up short.
Yeah, he doesn't want to make an asshole of himself. What's he going to do? He's going to go back out there again and be and look like a jerk in front of everybody. He's not going to do that. But then he gets talked into it. We need like an Adrian. We need his current girlfriend to be like
ex-wife.
Yeah, but his ex-wife is TJ Jr.'s mom, and she does not want anything to do with him. We need like a supportive
hometown.
Yeah.
Like hometown hasn't seen her in 40 years.
Yeah.
But they were super close back in the day.
Yep. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. And then she becomes the driving
Marissa Tomei.
Dude, from my brain to your lips, that's exactly who I thought of.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, 100%. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes, man. We're on the same page here. So Marissa
Tomei. She's 55.
That's perfect.
I mean, it works.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei and Judd Nelson. That's TJ and I don't know what her name could be. You got one?
Marie
getting a fucking car.
That makes me think. Is he too old?
Who? Chaz Palminteri?
No. God damn it. Son of a bitch. Ray Liotta. Like, what if we got...
Oh.
Is he too old, you think? I mean, he's 65.
Yeah. He could be the doctor.
No. I think you need a good, like...
Like an older gentleman.
Character actor.
Yeah. Like a character actor, huh? Shit. See, I wish Seymour Hoffman was dead.
Like a 45-year-old...
If Philip Seymour Hoffman was alive, then...
Oh, he would have been the...
He's the perfect guy, right?
Doctor.
Yeah.
Well, you know who the poor man's Philip Seymour Hoffman is right now?
Go.
It's, God damn it, what the fuck is his name? The comedian.
Jim Gaffigan. You're right. Oh, good idea.
Jim Gaffigan's the doctor.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea. That's good.
So Jim Gaffigan is the doctor.
Yes. Yes. Jim Gaffigan is 100% the doctor. Jim Gaffigan is 100% the doctor.
I kind of like Ray Liotta as the bowler.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a little old. He's a little old and he's a little beaten up.
Isn't that what we want?
Yeah,
though?
But Judd, I feel like Judd's like bloated. And I think that's where it's at. Like he's got to look unhealthy. Whereas Ray Liotta, I think, looks like a guy who's been doing meth and smoking cigarettes for a long time. Where I feel like Judd Nelson is a guy who's been eating sausage. You know? He's like he's that guy. Plus, he's ready for a resurgence.
Yeah, I guess.
Ray Liotta he goes into history with Goodfellas. Ray Liotta could have never made another good movie again for the rest of his life. He made Goodfellas and he was in Narc. Like, he's done. And Observe and Report, which is one of the most underrated comedies of all time. So, I feel like he doesn't need this. But our boy Judd, he needs this. This would be Judd Nelson's Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying he's...
Travolta.
Travolta.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, man. All right. You got me.
Yeah, he needs it.
But who's TJ
too.
Jr.?
Okay, so now we need to find somebody who is passably Judd Nelson's kid. So
between the ages of 25 feels too young.
Yeah, it feels real young. Got
to
be...
But 30 to 35, 30
to 35 is real good. I think 30 to 35 is real good. Or, you know what? It could be a little bit older. It could be Ryan Reynolds. It could be like...
Ryan Reynolds isn't bad.
Yeah, it could be that.
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, Dax Shepard.
Mm.
What?
He feels too old to me.
Does
I don't
he?
Know why.
I just feel he feels white trash enough to me. Dude, Macaulay Culkin's a good call.
I like Macaulay Culkin.
I do too. That's a strong casting decision right there, sir.
Shia LaBeouf.
Still a little too hot.
You think so?
Yeah, still a little too hot.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Ooh. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
A little young. Max 40.
Is he, though?
Max 40. But he looks young.
Like, Daniel Radcliffe is like, he's like 29, 30.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, he seems a little, we need somebody a little more beaten up,
I guess.
He's a
little boyish. Yeah. Yeah, he's a little.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Macaulay Culkin.
I like Matt.
Macaulay Culkin feels like he could be his kid.
Macaulay Culkin's cool because he feels like a little dangerous somehow.
Yeah. And he's like, dude's like 40 though, isn't
he? He's 40, yeah. Yeah. He can play a little younger, a couple years younger though.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. A little scruff on him. You know, he's skinny.
What about Elijah Wood?
Elijah Wood is like poor man's Daniel Radcliffe, though.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, those kids.
I bet you at one point people said Daniel Radcliffe was the poor man's Elijah Wood.
Oh, they definitely did. Yeah.
There's got to be somebody we're just like, we're not thinking of.
We're missing.
I don't know, man. I still like Macaulay
let's
Culkin.
Let's temp in Mac. Macaulay Culkin, Judd Nelson. We'd have to get his hair dark.
Jim Gaffigan
as the doctor.
Marissa Tomei is the...
As the hometown girlfriend. Macaulay Culkin's mom is... okay, we need like a blonde... That's where he gets his hair. We need like a blonde woman... like a good... This is where we spend all the money in the whole movie. We spent all the money on the super...
Like, oh my God, they really got her?
I can't believe they got her. Like, holy shit. Is that Rene Russo? Who's it going to be? It's got to be somebody who's like in that age range, in that... I mean, Molly Ringwald's too easy, right? Because it's Judd Nelson. Although that is kind of a nice hat tip to the Brat Packers.
Yeah, it could be like, hey, you get it. Yeah, you get where we're going with this.
Yeah, and then all the fan... You know, art begins about the Breakfast Club turning into like those two characters had this kid.
Right.
Yeah.
What about Kim Basinger?
Done. That's it. That's exactly who it is.
Yeah, man.
Perfect.
Wow, this is really coming together.
All right. We got to start. We got to get to work.
I mean, she's a little older. Then
but that's perfect, man. She's gonna be a waitress. She's gonna be a career waitress working at a diner, like an all night diner in a town. It's like a mill town, you know, like you wouldn't think that they have an all night diner there, but it's a mill town, so there's three shifts. So she's been like busting her ass there. You know, she like her ex was making it big in the circuit, but she's not that kind of lady who's gonna go asking for handouts. She's not that kind of woman, you know. She's a strong lady, you know. And she's gonna work through it. She's gonna work her two shifts every night. She's gonna get that kid fed. She's gonna pick up the baby from from her mother. So now we need like an older lady who's gonna play like the grandmother who was watching Mac when he was young, you know, like Olympia Dukakis style, like what's her name, Cloris Leachman kind of, you know, like that kind of feel, you know. She's like, she's there, she's taking care of the baby, whatever. She puts in the time, she saves all the money. All she wants to do is make sure that the baby never grows up to be like a bowler, like his scumbag traveling Wilbury of a father, you know.
Right. We see flashbacks.
Stone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we see flashbacks of him like wanting to go to like hang out with his friends at the bowling alley, and her like showing up there, dragging him out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, first flashback though is like her coming home from like a crazy like double shift, you know, and like she's got that like stupid pink waitress like dress, you know?
Right.
And she like takes
the thing in her hair.
Yeah, she takes off the thing in her hair and she sits on the couch and the baby's crying. Or the baby's asleep, sorry. She like plops on the couch and she gets herself like a beer, like on like one of the, like a weird beer with like the pull top that's like that's almost like aluminum like
right.
You know, like it's like
a fucking Utica Club.
Thank you. And she turns on the TV and the first thing she sees on like the brand new channel ESPN is her husband.
Right. Banana, ba bam.
Yes, and her husband, like her ex, is bowling, and she's like, ugh. And she turns it off, and as soon as she hits the power button, the baby starts crying, and she's like, okay. And she gets up and she goes at it. You know, like we're painting the picture here. You know, she doesn't want mm-hmm. she doesn't want that life for this boy. But in the right. end, she's the one that pushes him. You know, she's the one. It's like a redemption story, like. Go be with your daddy. Like, you know,
mm-hmm.
it ain't right of me to keep him away from you all this time. You got to go. And you got to go figure out what it is to be a man in the lanes.
Here, I have a present for you. What's this, Ma? It's a set of balls.
Yeah. I figured, what you throw about an 11, 12? Yeah, I know. I know you do. Your daddy threw a 12. But you told me my daddy was in the Navy, died in Vietnam, mm-hmm. son. I told you a lot of stories when he was young.
This is great.
Yeah, great.
No strike to spare.
Done. Sold. See, don't ever say no good came of this virus. We sat in our basements yeah. and hatched out.
Listen, 20 years from now, when we're sitting down and talking to, you know, who are we talking to? People Magazine. And they're like, so how did you come up with the concept of no strike to spare? And we'd be like, well, you won't believe it, but do you remember coronavirus? And they're like, well, yeah, of course, yeah. Well, we had a little podcast back then, and they're like, what's a podcast? Well,
bleep blorp, a podcast was. Do you know how many shitty scripts that we're gonna read next year from like friends and filmmakers that start with the year was 2020?
Oh yeah. And it's going to be just people. Like, I seriously thought about, though, writing a script for, like, because Kieran's sister is driving across the country right now with her husband.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's
crazy.
Like, they had one hotel cancel the reservation already. And it's like,
Mad Max.
It's like, well, they have to get home. Like, that's the thing. Like, they have to get home.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a place.
Dude, I hope they're shooting anymore, that. So they should be shooting that. That would be that would be really interesting to watch. Like the adventure across the country. You know, sleeping in rest stops and seeing the empty highways and stuff. That would be really interesting. But that's not going to be the stories that we see. It's all going to be, you know, patient zero. Choose a piece of meat, a gamey meat that, you know, we pull back and
reveal. A TV on in the background is just talking about the coronavirus in China.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of that shit.
Like flipping through the, it's like how zombie movies start.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
All right, man. No strike to spare, I think, can actually happen.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
So let's flesh this out over the next 2 to 3 weeks while we're
good enough.
Still at home.
Good enough.
Hey man, you know, I'm glad we're still doing this. I'm glad we found a way to do this still, and we're making it happen.
Love finds a way.
Also check out, I don't know if when we post this, if we'll have posted any episodes of our new podcast yet, but keep an eye out for Unsolved Mystery Science Theater.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. We're only a couple episodes in, but yeah, basically what we're doing is just we're doing commentary for Unsolved Mysteries.
But damn, is it not delightful though?
I enjoy it.
Oh, me too.
Very much. So much.
Yeah. We got to get a couple done this week.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't see why we wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck else we got to do, Sean?
So for Hard On Podcast,
mm-hmm.
I'm Sean Barnes.
And I'm not. Sean.
Come on, just do it.
No.
Just for one time, say your name.
No.
You don't like to.
Sean.
Yeah.
Was it good for you?
I think I only have 12, maybe 13 good ones left in me.